Well, I appreciate tonight being part of the family of God. I don't know of another people that I would rather belong to. You say it differently. There is no other people that I would rather belong to than this people here.
Amen.
You're my people, and I want to be one of you. I want to be faithful to the Lord. We are privileged tonight to be able to be called by the Lord, by name, to follow Him.
Yes.
That's a wonderful privilege. To think that God in heaven looked down upon you and me and called your name. We read where He called Matthew and Peter and John and called them by name and said, follow me. But I want to tell you, He has come by all of us tonight.
That's right.
And He's called you by name, regardless of your background, regardless of your failures, regardless of what you've done. If you are willing, the Lord is coming by and He's saying, hey, come follow
yes.
me.
Thank you.
And I want to follow God. He's God. And He gives us that opportunity to do that. I want to run well. I want to run the race. So we talked about this morning, and I want to win.
Amen.
Because the race is on, and it's not optional. You know that?
Right.
You know you can't opt out?
Right.
Sometimes people, you get a game together, and someone says, I'm out of that one. I'm not going to play that game. You don't get to say, I don't want to play that game. You don't get to say, I'm not going to be in that race. We're all in this race.
That's right.
Whether you want to be or not, we're all in this race. Everybody's running. And I want to run with a sense of urgency because eternity is before us. And I want to run to win. I want to run, as we talked about this morning, as if only one person's going to run or win. Paul said, so run the race. I want to run like that. And my burden tonight goes along with the message this morning that we wholly follow the Lord. Continues down that path. Not only do I want to run, but I want to run in the right direction.
Yes. Amen.
There's a lot of people that are running, but they've gotten off course. And sometimes, lots of times, willingly.
Yes.
They get off course, and maybe they don't want to acknowledge it, but there's some elements of willingness to it. And I want us to understand tonight that the decisions that we make in life many times are directional in nature. I first thought about writing on the board, decisions are directional. I thought, oh, someone's out there is going to say, well, not every decision is directional. I mean, okay, there are some that maybe we could say aren't directional. But I'm going to say this. Many, many of the decisions that you make in life, they're directional. They go somewhere. And that's my burden tonight that I'd like to look on. I was inspired by this in a Sunday school class actually in Springfield. And I think there's some of you here that maybe were in that Sunday. And I'd like to start there in Jonah. I'd like to start my message there in the first chapter of Jonah. In Jonah 1, it says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, we'll come back to that, and he went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But, here's that word but again, Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him, and he said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, If so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said everyone to his fellow, come and let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots. The lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thy occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid. And he said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he told them. Tonight I'm wondering what decisions that we are making today and what direction that our decisions are taking us. We all have been given, or I'm going to say most of us in here have been given the Word of the Lord. Some more, some less, some with more understanding, some with less understanding. But we've been given the Word of the Lord. And we're taking action on that. What direction are you going tonight with the words, with the Word of the Lord that has come to you? I've titled this thought, as I mentioned, Directional Decisions, that the message has to do with the fact that many times the decisions that we make, many times are larger than the activity itself. There are messages that are preached often about the specifics. Okay, well, what are you doing right now? And then let's get into exactly what you're doing and the merits of it, and if it's right and if it's wrong. But tonight, my burden is, it's a little more general than that, but it's very specific. Our decisions that we make so often are larger than just the decision itself. If I turn left out here, this 71 business, If I turn left on 171, I could say, well, I just turn left on 171. That's all there is to my decision. But the problem is, if I keep going left on 171, I'm not going to get Brother Dan, Sister Anita's tonight. It's going to mess my night up. They're going to wonder, well, what did we do to Brother Rod? Why isn't he coming back home tonight? And it's going to affect me. If I keep going and I never turn around, I'm never going to get to their house. Am I? Even if someone stops me and says, hey, where are you going? And I say, well, I'm going to Brother Dan's Sister Nita's house. They say, where do they live? Carthage? Well, did you know that you're heading the wrong direction? Well, that's where I'm going. It doesn't matter what I say.
That's right.
Yeah. What matters is that I took a turn. And like I said, well, there's nothing wrong with the left-hand turn that I took. There's nothing inherently wrong that in that moment I turned my wheel to the left. No sin in that.
That's right.
But if I keep going, it has larger ramifications than just turning left.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
It wasn't so much that Jonah decided to take a boat ride. It wasn't that Jonah just said, you know, I think I'd like to take a boat ride today. I'm going to go to Tarshish tonight. It wasn't that there was so much sin in Jonah taking a boat ride. It was the fact that the boat was headed directionally afoul from where Jonah was called to go. That was the problem. Some people, have you ever heard someone say, well, Jonah could have said, well, there's no sin in riding a boat. No, there's no sin in getting in a boat. He said, there's no sin in going to Tarshish. What's wrong with Tarshish? Well, there's nothing necessarily wrong with Tarshish. Well, then there's no sin in riding a boat going to Tarshish. Have you ever heard someone say, well, there's no sin in this? Sometimes you hear it. And a lot of times when you hear it, you don't hear people say, well, I don't think there's any sin in this. It's usually, well, there's no sin in this. There's nothing wrong with this.
Yes.
Have you ever noticed that? It seems like there's some vehemence sometimes that goes along with it.
Yes.
Almost like they're daring you to challenge them that there's nothing wrong with it. Like, well, you telling me or asking me? I mean, okay, so there's nothing wrong with this. So there's not. Jonah could have said, there's nothing wrong. That people say that. I hear it. It seems like more and more. Nothing wrong with this. There's no sin in this. There's no scripture and verse for this. Nothing wrong with this. Okay. The larger question, though, is where is it taking you? Where is it going to place you? Because the Lord has called us to go somewhere. The Lord has called us to be a people to wholly follow Him. He's called us to be a people to have our ears attuned to, Lord, what would you have me to do? Where would you have me to go? Jonah, no, there wasn't any sin in riding in a boat. But he was headed in the wrong direction. And I want us to recognize tonight, and I'll repeat it several times, not on accident, on purpose. I want us to realize that the decisions that we make so often have a whole lot larger to do with than just the activity itself. And I want to know where I'm going to end up. I'd like to know where I'm going to end up tomorrow. I'd kind of like to get back to the house tonight. But even past tonight, I'd kind of like to know where I'm going to be tomorrow and next week and next month. Like to know where I'm going to be next year. You know what? I'd kind of like to know what my grandchildren might say about the direction that Grandpa set.
Yes.
Whether they follow it or not is up to them. But I have something to say about that. And I want to know a little bit about the decisions that I make today. Where is it going to place me next year and 10 years from now and 20? And where is it going to place my children? Maybe I can handle taking a left-hand turn knowing that I'm going to take a right-hand turn and another right-hand turn, and I've got that figured out, and I've got reasons that maybe the Lord's behind, or so I think sometimes. Maybe I can make it back to the house. But what about the ones that follow me and say, well, Dad took a left-hand turn, and he's going to the same place I'm going. We're all going to the same place, and he turned left. But when you turn left, it doesn't go to the right place. Do you see the carefulness? This is why Paul said, let's take the more earnest heed to the things that we've heard. Not just take more heed, or take heed. Not just take more heed, but take more earnest heed to the things that we've heard. Because if we don't, and we don't apply them, and we don't consider and think on them, then we can find ourselves far from where the Lord wants us.
Yes.
Far from where the Lord wants us. I don't want to end up where the Lord is not calling me to. We have all been called.
Yes.
Haven't we all been called to be ambassadors for the Lord?
Yes.
He called Jonah to Nineveh, but He's calling us. He's calling us to our own place. And I want to make decisions so that wherever it is He's calling Rod, that's where I end up. And I don't want to go somewhere else. And I want to recognize, I don't want to minimize today's decision. Isn't it something how humans, we're always thinking about tomorrow, don't we? Aren't we always planning for tomorrow, and it's always tomorrow, and you know, life is not just today, but tomorrow I'm going to do this, and next week I'm going to do this, and in a year my plans are to be here, but today is all we have. And sometimes that same human nature that we have
causes us to minimize the decisions we're making today because it's just today. But we're living out yesterday's decisions.
The Lord came to Jonah and He said, I want you to go to Nineveh. And Nineveh rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa and he found a ship going to Tarshish. And it said that he paid a fare to get on there. And that really struck me, I guess, like it never has before. Did you know that it cost you something to go in a direction opposite of the Lord? It costs you something.
Yes,
it costs Him to get on this boat. And you may be sitting out there saying, yeah, but it doesn't cost that much to get on a boat. I mean, that's not a very good analogy, Rob, because, I mean, most people can come back from that. It's just the cost of getting on a boat. Well, you know what? Jonah might have thought that too. He might have thought, oh yeah, I didn't want to pay this, but I can afford it. I can handle it. How many times have you heard people say, well, I can handle it. I know it's not the way maybe the saints have always taught it, but I know my heart and I can handle it. I can handle it. But what you don't recognize is that there's a big fish out there that's going to swallow you up. That's a cost too. And Jonah didn't recognize that the cost was a whole lot greater than the cost to get on the ship to go to Tarshish. And you say, oh, well, yeah, I wouldn't want to spend 3 nights in the belly of a fish either. And that's not high on my list. I mean, today the world talks about their bucket list. I don't have a problem if you use that turn of phrase. It is not on my bucket list to spend 3 nights in the belly of a fish. That was a high cost that he paid. And some people may say, yeah, but Jonah, he paid for his sins. That was Jonah. But I want to tell you something else. Jonah wasn't the only one that paid for going in the wrong direction. It would be really convenient if I could say, well, it's just my life. It's just me. And let me live and die by my own decisions. I don't want you to look at my life. Don't go after my decisions. You make your decisions. You live your way. Well, that would be real nice and convenient sometimes, but that's not the way that it works. We live off the fruit of each other's lives. And my life has been immeasurably affected by those that have gone before me that don't even know me. My grandpa comes to mind. I never even knew my dad's father. He passed away before I was born. But he sure had an effect on my dad. And because of that, I am affected by my grandpa's decisions. And he was affected by a very godly mother that he had that we've heard a lot about growing up. And the same can be said from my mom's side. We affect other people. You may not like it. You may not want the responsibility. But I want to say tonight, you are running in a race, whether you want to run in the race or not. And you're affecting other people that are in the race too. And they want to win. I hope they do. If they're following you, and for sure if you're professing the name of Christ, and you got a sign on your back that says, I'm a Christian, and you're running the race, and someone says, he's a Christian, he turned left, he's going to Brother Dan's sister Nia's house, that's where I want to go to, and they follow you, and you turn the wrong way, and you say, well, I know where I'm going, I'll get back there eventually. But you got other people following you, and they'll never get there. It does not matter what my testimony is. It matters the decisions that I make. Words are cheap unless they're backed up by your actions. They're not meaningful. In fact, they can be really detrimental. The folks that were with Jonah suffered too. Yeah, they lost their cargo because they were trying to deal with the aftermath of the decision that Jonah made. They didn't know all the reasons why. All they knew was
we are in this really difficult place that we're having to deal with, and our lives are at stake. And they begin throwing their valuables overboard. Their valuables, their stuff. They started sacrificing their things because of the decision that Jonah made. And where was Jonah? He was sleeping. He was down in the bottom of the boat. Why would you go to sleep when you knew you were running from the Lord? I'd be scared to death. I'd be watching all around to, you know, tell the mariners, hey, could you turn this boat around real quick? I think I need to be going the other way. I don't think I'd be down. But do you know we do that all the time as humans? We decide, I don't really think I want to go that way. And then we try to put our blinders on. And we close our ears. And when the word of the Lord comes forth and the Spirit of the Lord comes and begins to deal with our hearts, we're asleep. Our direction is set. We're not the one running the boat. We're just in the boat.
Yeah.
And we're sleeping away while others are suffering. While others are dealing with the consequences of the decision that I made to go away from the presence of the Lord. No, there wasn't a sin in riding in a boat. It wasn't a sin. Not a sin to go to Tarshish. It's not a sin for me to turn left up here on 171 highway. Not a sin in that. Unless the Lord says, hey, Rod, you are my ambassador, and I want you to make decisions that not only get you to heaven, but that set a standard for those that are going to follow you. And yes, it's going to affect me. And yes, there's going to be times where I do things that maybe I believe I would not otherwise have to do just exactly like I do them. But I'm looking at the ones that are coming behind me. And I'm looking at the ones that have not learned maybe what I've learned or what I think I've learned. That applies a lot of times. And so I want to make decisions not just for myself, but I want to make decisions for others. And so I want to make decisions that think beyond today.
Yes.
I want to make decisions where I'm thinking about the fact that with those that come after me, many times I'm the one setting the high bar. Are you comfortable with that? Are you comfortable with that high bar that you're saying? Because I want to tell you something. Your children will likely, you profess the name of God, and you go to church, and you profess to be a Christian, and you profess to your children that you're wholeheartedly following the Lord, and you begin to let things come into your homes and into your lives, and you take things on while you're professing this. I'm going to tell you something. Many, many times, your children will view that as the high bar.
Yes.
I'm not saying always. I'm not saying that all children always only live up to their parents. I'm not trying to take away from the Spirit of the Lord and His dealings. Yes, He works. But I want to say that when you look back over history and you see how things go, when you begin to let down the standard, you begin to cut corners, and you begin to ride the line, it becomes the new center line.
Yes, that's right.
From the example that you set. We read this, we're quoted this morning about where the Lord told Joshua, don't go to the right, don't go to the left. You just stay down the center. Don't veer off. What happens when I veer off and I make decisions and I say, well, there's nothing wrong with this. Well, there's no sin in this. I'm still within the lines. And then I make that my line. There's a shift that happens in the minds of many that are watching that. And it becomes a new center line. I think it's one reason why the Lord, He's the judge and not me. Because we do affect other people like that. We influence others to do wrong sometimes. And the Lord doesn't hold them to the same accountability as he holds the one who shifts the line. And that's when we can leave the judgment in the Lord's hands. But the fact that we shifted, we're going to be responsible for that, saints. And the Lord wants us to recognize we have a responsibility. We have a high calling to be careful about the decisions that we make. There's a verse in 1 Kings 5 and 5, and Solomon was talking about building a temple for the Lord. He was building a temple for the Lord. What is the temple of the Lord today? What is the intent? We are the temple.
Yes.
The Lord wanted us. He wanted you to be the temple that He would dwell in all holiness, in all righteousness. We're the temple. And Solomon said, I want to build a temple for the Lord. And my question tonight and the challenge, not just to you, but to me. I'm challenged with this.
Yes.
The decisions that I make, what am I most concerned about?
Yes.
Me? I know it's my life. God gave me it. It's my life. But He wants us to be willing. Thank you. He wants us to be willing to turn that life back over to Him.
Yes.
And He wants us to make decisions not just to cater to my flesh. But He wants me to make decisions for His temple. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? And that the Spirit of the Lord dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him will God destroy. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple ye are? Are you comfortable with that tonight? It's challenging to me. Because I am making decisions on how I am going to adorn, outfit, live out, build the temple that the Lord wants to dwell in. And the decisions that I make in life, each day it begins to build the structure of what that temple looks like. Right? Do you believe that this has applicability in the day-to-day decisions that we make in life?
Yes,
but I want to say that I do too. But I want to say this. I feel like we are under siege, if I can say it that way. I feel like we're under pressure, and the ministry is feeling more and more pressure to preach a diluted message. And not, don't start crossing the line so much into the things that I do specifically on a day-to-day basis. Just leave that to me and let me make those decisions. And yet, it's the day-to-day decisions that we make that are directional. Those are the things that are taking us in a direction. I've written some of them down. How you spend your time. How do you spend your time? It's directional. Like I said, I'm not, tonight my burden is not to dig into details on all of these, but just to think directionally. Are you comfortable with how you spend your time? The amount of time you spend for the Lord and your soul, and the amount of time you spend on whatever, particularly your discretionary, what I'll call your discretionary time. Are you okay with it directionally? What you talk about? What you think about? You know, the things that have a lot of applicability are the things that appeal to our senses.
Yes.
That's normal. That's natural. Because I see with my eyes, I hear with my ear, I taste, I touch, I feel. And so those things that are pleasant to my senses are the things that I do and that I spend my time on and that I make decisions around each day, right? And so it seems like that it follows that the Lord would be concerned about what I watch.
Yes.
He's concerned about the direction that I set with the things I watch and how easy it is for me to watch and my children to watch.
Yes.
Wouldn't it?
Yes. Yes.
And what I listen to. See, it has direct applicability.
That's right.
What I listen to, what I watch, where I go, how I spend my time. Directionally, what does it look like? Is it conducive to building a temple that the Lord says, yes, this is a place I'm willing to live. This is a place I'm willing to abide in. Or sometimes we have to say, Lord, would you mind giving me a little time? I don't want to ever have to tell the Lord that. He wants my temple to be a dwelling place for Him.
Yes.
And so the challenge to us tonight is, what kind of decisions are we making? Did you know we don't just find ourselves in a position out of the blue? I didn't just find myself here just because, and that's the way that it is. Sometimes that'd be an easy way to get out of feeling the accountability we ought to have. But consequences happen because they are results of actions that somebody took. And somebody might say, well, I'm not the one that got me in this situation. Somebody else did. Okay, then you have responsibility. What are you going to do now?
Right.
See, it always comes back to you. Whether you like it or not, however bad of deal you've been given, it eventually comes back to you.
Yes.
Okay, you've been given a bad deal. The Lord will give you grace for that. What are you going to do about it now? You see, the consequences in life and in the end are a result of actions that somebody took.
Yes.
And those actions took place because of a thought process that somebody went through to take those actions. And those thought processes came about because of a belief system. Their beliefs affect the way you think about things. It affects your thought process. Well, some of these people say, well, can't help it. That's just how I believe. As if now you can no longer tell them to do anything different because after all, that's how they believe. But it goes further than that. Your beliefs are largely a function of what you become exposed to, what you become aware of, the environments that you are in. It's just the way that it works. And then at some point, you make a decision on if you're going to commit yourself to that. That's a critical juncture.
That's right.
And when you make a commitment to something, and then you allow your beliefs to begin to gel around that, then it all follows back out in the reverse order that I just said. Now, you think about things different. That's why people look at you that aren't lit. They're directionally living wrong. And they look right at you and they say, well, I don't see anything wrong with it.
Yes.
And they don't. Some do. Some just aren't being intellectually honest with themselves. But what I fear, there are those that say, well, I don't see anything wrong with it. And they really don't. It finally hit me one day. I thought, why are they keep being dishonest? They're not being dishonest. They really don't. That's a scary place to be. That's why the Scripture talks about over and over, don't be deceived.
Yes.
Don't be deceived, because that's what deception is.
Yes.
When you are deceived, you begin to believe a lie.
Yes.
You didn't just get there. You're not going to be able to, people say, well, I don't see anything wrong with that. I feel clear before the Lord. Yes, but at one time, that's not how you saw it.
Right.
At one time, that's not what was taught to you. You were warned about it. You had faithful parents and teachers and ministers and mothers and fathers in Israel and the Spirit of the Lord that whispered in your ear and the Word of the Lord that you read. And at some point, you were willing to commit to something different. And you allowed that to begin to form your beliefs. So that you could say, well, I don't see it that way. I don't think it's wrong. Show me a scripture and verse. I just don't see that it's wrong. And since you don't, and that's your beliefs, that affects your thought process. It affects your decision-making process. And your decision-making process is what dictates the actions that you take. And when you take action, there are consequences that follow. And you know what? I've learned this too. Consequences are pretty impersonal. Consequences don't really care whether you meant it to happen or not. I could hit this glass of water and knock it off accidentally. And the glass doesn't say, oh, he didn't mean to do that. I think I'll just stay right there. Because he didn't mean, his intent was not to knock the glass off. So I could hit it and the glass just kind of comes back down. Is that how it works?
No.
I might hit it totally out of carelessness, but not mean to. And you know what's going to happen? Gravity is going to take hold and the glass and the water is going to fall on the floor. And there I'm at. There I am. Consequences don't care. Consequences are just a result of actions that you take. And the Lord is in the business of trying to help us live our life so that the consequences of our behavior points us in a direction to Christ. And it points others in a direction of Christ. Do you see now why Jesus said, you'll know them by your fruit, by their fruits?
Yes.
By their fruits you shall know them. People say, well, don't judge me by... You can't... Don't be my judge. You're not a judge. God's the judge. You shouldn't be judging me based on what... Look, when I see an orange tree, I don't say, I don't know if that's an apple tree, an orange tree, or a lemon tree. I just don't know what it is. I look at it and I say, that's an orange tree. Why? Because there's oranges on it. I don't know what's going on down the roots. The Lord can be the judge of that. All I know is it's an orange tree. We're living in a world today where people are looking at an orange tree and saying, that could be an apple tree. Don't judge it. If those apples want to be oranges, then let them be oranges. And I'm thinking, what? Talk about deceit. And people are buying into it. And you know what? If we are not very careful, so will we.
Yes.
You give it time.
Right.
You just give it a little bit of time, and some of the things that were gross sins to us, they're not so gross sins to our children anymore. It's all around them. So, you know, I mean, yeah, it's not right. But we don't really know what's going on down inside. Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That's why the Lord said, you'll know them. Because, and He's not talking about an incident. Because remember I said you can reverse direction?
Yes.
Thank the Lord for that piece.
Yes.
Because if I mess up and I'm an orange tree and an apple sprouts out, I can say, oh my Lord, I'm not an apple tree. Please forgive me. Help me to fix this and pull the apple off. Get rid of it. People observe when I do that. They'll know me by my fruit. Oh yeah, I saw him one time and something came out that didn't seem consistent with the overall pattern of his life, and you should have seen the way he took care of it. So that's not the point that I'm making. But if we are living in the pattern of our lives, have you ever noticed that people say, well, I don't think anything's so wrong with this, and they start to cut corners and whatever. Have you ever noticed that many times the same people aren't just cutting there, they're cutting here, and they're cutting here, and they don't see anything wrong with this over here, and it becomes a pattern. And so Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruits. Why? Because the fruits, the consequences of their life, it's a result of actions they take, and the actions that they take is a result of how they think, and the way they think is a result of a belief system that they're allowing themselves to buy into. So Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruits. I want to be careful. I want to think about the decisions that I make. And I want to know what direction they're taking me. Because things do matter. They do. Regardless of what others may say today, where they say, well, things don't make so much difference. Yes, they do. Solomon said, He told the young people in the 11th chapter of Ecclesiastes, he said, "Rejoice, O young man in thy youth." Help me out. "Rejoice, O young man in thy youth, and let thine heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thy heart and in the sight of thine eyes." The Lord wants us to enjoy life. God wants us to enjoy life. He didn't put us down here to drudge on through life. He put us down here because He created this world and He wants us to have abundant life. That's why He said, "Follow me, I'll give you abundant life."
Yes.
And that's why He said, "Look, live your life, young people. Rejoice in your youth. Enjoy your young age. But just remember, know thou that for all of these," what?
Things.
God will bring you into judgment.
Right.
And you get at the end of the 12th chapter, and after Solomon had tried to look life over and decide, well, what is it all about? And he got to the end and he said, here's the conclusion of the whole matter.
Yes.
This is what it boils down to.
Right.
Fear God and keep His commandments. Because it's the partial duty of man.
Yeah.
Whole duty of man.
That's correct.
Why? Okay, but then what? He said, because He'll bring every work,
yes,
work into judgment with every secret, what?
Thing.
There's that thing again.
Yeah.
It matters.
Yes, it does.
Whether it be good, and He said every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil.
Yes.
The Lord notices how we live. And He wants a good end for us. "I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not evil." To give you an expected end. God wants to give you an expected end. He wants to give you a good life. He wants to get you home. He wants you to take the right turn out here so that you can get home. And so that you don't end up wandering around in darkness. And that comes about, saints, by the decisions that we make.
Yes.
Because most often, they're directional. They're directional. And so tonight, my question and my challenge is, what direction are you going? Be comfortable with it? You comfortable with others following you? Yeah, you might be able to handle it where you are now, but where is it heading? And if you are doing what you're doing and you say, "Well, I can handle it, I don't think anything's wrong with it," okay. But if it is extrapolated, if I had more time, I'd draw a picture on the board. If it's extrapolated, where does it end up? You know, you can take a small angle, say, "Well, I'm not that far from base."
Right.
But over time,
yes.
Are you comfortable with your decision? Are you comfortable if you're here tonight and you have found yourself in the place where you're cutting some corners? And you're saying, "Well, I don't think this is, I know it's been taught, but I don't think it's necessary." Are you sure? And where does it lead? There's a reason why we teach what we teach. It's a reason. There's a reason why we have the standards that we do. Because there's doctrines that the Lord says, this is a doctrine, and it's up to us to put some standards in place that have direct applicability to our lives so that I make decisions that are safe for me and for my children, and for my children's children, and for those that follow me, and for those that I influence. So tonight, what direction are you going? Are you comfortable with it? This is the good news. We have opportunity to make course corrections.
Yes, that's right.
The Lord doesn't say, "Oh, got you, you turn left, you're out." We'd all be out if that was the case. The Lord is a good God to come by us and say, "Hey, like He did to Jonah, what does this mean? What did..." Like the shipmaster said to Jonah, "What mean is this?"
Yeah.
Lord comes by sometimes and says, "What does this mean? What does this mean, O sleeper?" "Yes, Lord. I'll get up. I'll change. Let's not delay and defer action. That's not the answer. People watch that too. This is our opportunity to make whatever course corrections we need to make so that we can make it home. May God help each one of us.